Good morning. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to go back to where we left off on the last broadcast and overlap it just a little bit. I want to start this morning with verse 18. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. This book, 1 John, has been, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most practical books that a Christian can spend time in. The focus of the book, the theme of the book, is fellowship with God. You will not see it stated quite that way, and yet the very essence of the things that are discussed, the commands that are given, it all runs along that same line. And today, as we finish up our study of 1 John, there are some things I'll want to review with you. But before we do that, let's concentrate now on verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Keep in mind that 1 John is written primarily to Christians or with Christians in mind. So when he says, we know, that word know means to know with absolute certainty. We as Christians know with absolute certainty that whosoever is born of God, that is, has been genuinely converted, sinneth not. Now you remember that throughout the course of this study I've emphasized the use of that suffix, eth, that appears at the end of many of the verbs that you find here, a verb being a word that shows action. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now that eth, excuse me, has to do with the tenses that are used in the Greek language. You would use an ing in its place, or something to that effect, because the eth designates that the action, having begun, continues. It's not a beginning and an ending. It doesn't happen and then stop, but rather it continues on in a linear fashion. In this particular case, the ETH, you would normally, as you look at the verb, think of the English equivalent with usage of the words habitual or continual. We know that whosoever is born of God does not habitually commit sin. He does not habitually or continually practice sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now, as you look at verse 18 has tremendous repercussions in light of some of the common theologies that are held today. The idea that a person can be saved today and lost tomorrow does not reconcile itself to what this verse says. Now, at first glance, if you say you're a Christian and you commit a sin, you're not a Christian anymore, you've lost your religion. But when you start looking at the tenses that are used in the original language, that cannot be supported. Now, we know that whosoever is born of God does not habitually commit sin. The attitude towards sin has changed. You see, it cannot remain the same. If a Christian, one who professes to be a Christian, can go ahead and live like the world and commit sin, and it doesn't bother him, it doesn't make him uneasy, then this man is given evidence of the fact he's never been born again in the first place. We know that whosoever is born of God does not habitually practice sin. Now that doesn't mean that the Christian will not commit sin. Does not mean he cannot sin. He has not lost the ability to commit sin. And as long as we're alive in this flesh, we're always going to have that tendency towards sin because of the old nature. But one who has been born again, who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, cannot ever again look upon sin from the standpoint, well, it doesn't bother me. My friend, if you ever get to the point as a Christian where sin doesn't bother you, you've sinned against your conscience to the point where you are past feeling, the scripture calls it. that's a very dangerous situation to be in. You're on thin ice, and instead of having a conscience to warn you, instead of having these little doot-doot-doot-doot signals, you've ground the corners, as it were, off your conscience to the point where even when it's activated, it doesn't bother you. That being the case, my friend, you have to operate on the basis without it. You're not operating at your optimum level. Sin will do that to you. Now, you don't want to be past feeling. You don't want to ever allow your attitude towards sin to be. And sometimes I find Christians with a very lax attitude towards sin, not because they haven't ever genuinely accepted Christ as Savior, but because they've been going to churches that are so deficient. I can think of a lot of words, but that one I think is probably the least offensive. Churches that are so deficient in the teaching of the Word of God. Pastors who do not teach. Oh, I don't mean they can't preach. They'll get up and rail and stomp and pound the pulpit and breathe fire and thunder and lightning on everybody that disagrees with them. But in terms of practical Bible teaching and how to make it stick, how to make it work in the everyday life, these people are not taught. And as a result, their consciences are not sensitized to sin. And as a result, you see folks who claim to be Christians doing things that you say, well, wait a minute. If he's supposed to be a Christian, he shouldn't be doing that. Well, sometimes, my friend, it is a matter of ignorance. They don't know there's anything wrong with what they're doing. And instead of you taking it upon yourself to set them straight, you need to be careful how you approach it. What does the Bible say? Now, you see, when you look at it from that standpoint and you see what the Bible says, and when you present it to them and they see what the Bible says, then you're not coming across as some self-righteous prig who is trying to run everyone else's life. You don't want that kind of reaction, because they'll reject not only you, but the standard that you are wanting them to see and to acknowledge. Now, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. The word keepeth. He is habitually or continually guarding himself. He's paying strict attention to what's going on in his life. Remember, Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You have to keep an eye on yourself. You can't give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Give it an inch, it'll take a mile, that kind of thing. But he that is begotten of God, that is somebody who is really born again, guards himself continually, and that wicked one, or literally in the Greek, that pernicious one, toucheth him not. So many times I've heard people joke about, well, the devil made me do it. And I remember back a few decades ago, it was popular. I think there was a television program on I'm dating myself, but it was, the devil made me do it, and it showed up on bumper stickers, and everybody got a ho-ho chuckle out of it. But my friend, you need to understand that if you're a Christian, the devil cannot make you do anything. The fact of the matter is, you find that once you see what the Bible says about your salvation, you come to the realization that when you sin, it's not because of circumstances, and it's not because the devil made you do something, it was because you made the choice to sin. God will never allow you to be in the position where you have to do wrong. There will always be a way out of the situation or through the situation that you can respond in a way that's biblically consistent and spiritually what it needs to be. There's always a way if you're of a mind to look for it. Now, the problem with us is that the old nature doesn't want to look for a way out. The old nature wants the easy way out, and most of the time it is easier to sin than it is to do right. Now, he says, he that is begotten of God, that is, if he is genuinely born again, he guardeth himself, continually guardeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, I see a lot of people claiming to be born again, and they're very careless in their attitude. They're very slipshod, shallow in their perception of what the Christian life is all about. Some of that is, as I said, ignorance. Some of it is by desire. They want to have the pleasure of sin. They want to have the applause of the world. They want to feel like they're a part of popular religion. But at the same time, they're not comfortable with what the Bible says. It's a curious hybrid that calls itself Christian today. The idea of being identified with Christ, the idea of glorying in the cross by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, that is nowhere in the thinking of contemporary Christianity. Now, you'll notice here, he says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God. Notice, same word, we know, that is, we know with absolute certainty that we are of God. Why? Now, it's interesting sometimes to ask people, are you a Christian? Yeah, how do you know? Well, you know, I just believe down in my heart of hearts I really am. That's not an answer. That's not an acceptable answer. You've got to have more than feeling, more than some sort of emotional binge that you experienced sometime. We know that we are of God. How can he say this with that much assurance? Very simply, what does the Bible say? We know that we are born of God, that we are of God. How do you know that? Well, what does the Bible say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that what the Bible says? Yeah. Do you believe it? Now, if your hope of heaven rests upon your feelings, or upon your good works, or some sort of anything short of the assurance of the Word of God, is inadequate. It's not good enough. He says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, the word world, when we were going through chapter 2, I gave you a definition for the world. That is the aggregate, the cumulative effect of things earthly, goods, values, riches, pleasures, philosophies which stir desire, seduce from the purpose and plan of God, and hinder the cause of Christ. The whole world, that whole system, lieth in wickedness. Literally, it lies in the embrace of the pernicious one. And we know, verse 20, and again you see the word, this absolute certainty, and we know that the Son of God is come, and that is come, and is here. That's the idea in the Greek. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him, an understanding, that is, a permanent understanding, that we may know him, that he is true, and we are in him, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. That's where 1 John ends. To be honest with you, I didn't get to review with you, and I don't know. I think for the sake of consistency, I'll go ahead and we'll say this is the end of it, and tomorrow we'll start a new study. I hope you'll join me then, and 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? Catch you then.